JJ and Desiree, I'm going to ask you both each this question because I'd like an answer from both of you, and then we'll get more into really this incredible story behind your work, this book, the Pistis Sophia. You know, when you look at the different kinds of stories, one could surmise Christ, of course, was being human, but he could also be alien. And in that, I mean, if you look at the ascension into the clouds and things like that, one would think, is he being beamed aboard some mothership up there in the atmosphere or circling the planet? JJ, you first. I mean, any possibilities, or have you even considered that perhaps, in addition to all of his mystical powers, that he may have indeed have been extraterrestrial? Possible?
Well, let me say this whole story in question has another side to it. As you know, in 1973, I had a series of higher consciousness experiences while translating ancient texts with the names of God. And one was the experience that was very, very powerful, where a morphogenic door opened, and I saw briefly the risen Christ, as I would describe him with the stigmata. This influenced my life, influenced the direction of my research and work, and that picture of the risen Christ and the signs of the stigmata have always stayed with me. And seeing that paraphysical reality, I would simply say the New Testament does present a unique story of one who simply doesn't connect with the extraterrestrials or those who do the cakewalk through the zodiac, but something far more profound, more powerful, and reaching really to the higher dimensional levels of a master creation. And in hearing your question, I would say the Pistis Sophia text, which we have now after many, many years, translated in five volumes, speaks of what could be called the angelic ultra-terrestrials as opposed to the extraterrestrials. What I mean by that is the ultra-terrestrials have evolved beyond physical form. They're not to be localized in metallurgical ships or dealing with Star Trek technology. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with what I would consider something that's so far beyond the extraterrestrials beyond the human. It boggles the mind. And this, again, is a very profound experience I want to convey very briefly. It's something that is hard to put into words, but those who have the experience of something beyond the earth dimension realize that most of your profound religious texts are in a certain sense a symbolic shorthand for that higher experience, mystical experience.
How about you, Desiree? Same question.
Well, we definitely acknowledge extraterrestrials do exist, but we also acknowledge, like the Gnostics, that there is many levels. In fact, they talked about the lower 13 eons and then above that the height. So as the Academy for Future Science, which is the name of our organization, we always look at future science. If you look at the Russian research going on right now, like Guraev, who talks about the fact that the DNA is like a waveform, and you understand the way that photons can interact with electrons, you can see how literally Christ could take his body with the help of a higher light energy and literally transform it cell by cell into a higher being of light. This goes beyond any extraterrestrial technology, although we would say he is ultra-terrestrial or in a higher state beyond even any physical form.
So maybe the Shroud of Turin indeed is authentic, huh?
Well, certainly it could be affirmed of the Christ or someone who is Christ-like. I would say those working at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Los Angeles and at the American Air Academy back in the 70s have done their homework in opening us to what could be considered a body in a state of weightlessness. I've mm-hmm. talked to some of the engineers who did the research of the cloth analysis, and they describe a being approximately 160 pounds who is in a state of weightlessness. The radiations of light are completely around the texture of the material on all sides, showing that this was obviously an explosion of light. We would call it superluminal light, omnidirectional, and it would suggest we're dealing with a whole different category of divine intelligence as we speak of the angelic and superangelic, both in the Old and New Testament, which should not really be put under the stigma of traditional Orthodox theology that simply sees these representations as abstract musings of philosophers or something from a distant universe, but rather something that connects the greater universe with the human universe.
In fact, in the fifth book of Pista Sophia, it says how we're all to do that, and I think that's what's important. We don't put Christ, of course, was the leader in that sense, but we all have the ability to literally transform our body cell by cell, and that's our evolutionary process if we so choose to take it.
The best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, details a physical relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Does that impart, then, one of the reasons why she is so significant in the Pistis Sophia, where she comes up 83 times, as you were saying?
Well, if we go back to the Gospel of Mary, which is one of the Nag Hammadi scriptures, which has sparked a lot of this debate, Peter said to Mary, "Sister, we know that the Savior loved you more than the rest of the women." And then later on he also says, did he really speak to you privately, when we weren't present? I mean, all these different concepts. So you get the picture that she was quite close to him. In fact, they talk about kissing on the lips and different realities like that. But there is no other section that actually talks about any kind of personal relationship beyond those. And there's no evidence at all from our research archaeologically that shows that they actually had offspring. So they might have had a relationship in a certain sense. I think he probably knew his future and didn't want to tie himself down, if I can put it that way, to any particular family lineage, which is, of course, what they're purporting. I do agree that she did go probably to Aix-en-Provence in France, which is something that came up with Latin texts in the 5th and 6th century, although the Catholic Church wants you to think that she died in Ephesus.